The financial markets seduce with the promise of symmetry. For every trade, a chance. For every chance, a profit. Millions participate in this ritual daily, fueled by charts, commentary, conviction, and hope. They believe, often sincerely, that with enough study, strategy, and patience, they can beat the odds. The vision is almost democratic, a field of equal opportunity where discipline and knowledge are the final arbiters of success. But beneath this hopeful fiction lies a quieter, crueler truth. Most of them will lose, not because they're unskilled or irrational, but because they must. The structure of the market does not permit universal success. It is a system not of fairness, but of flow, of capital, of probability, of power. At its core, it is governed by an ancient principle of distribution that quietly dictates outcomes across nature, society, and commerce. It is called Pareto's Law. And once you see how it works, the idea of beating the market changes completely. The Pareto principle and the architecture of imbalance. In the late 1800s, Italian economist Vilfredo Pareto observed something peculiar. A minority of people owned a majority of the land in Italy. Intrigued, he looked further and found the same pattern repeated in wealth, production, and even the growth of peas in his garden. Roughly 80% of outcomes came from 20% of causes. This ratio would go on to become famous, though misunderstood. It's not the exact figures that matter, it's the shape. Pareto distributions are nonlinear, deeply skewed, and unforgiving. In a Pareto world, most things are clustered at the bottom, a few spike at the top. The gap between these extremes is not merely statistical, it is structural. Incomes, influence, followers, capital, and yes, profits in the market all tend to accumulate upward. These distributions are everywhere because they arise naturally in systems that are complex, adaptive, and competitive. Which is to say, systems where feedback loops reward success and punish mediocrity. The more someone has, the easier it becomes to gain more, and the less someone has, the harder it becomes to climb. This is not a conspiracy, it is the math of momentum. Markets as distribution engines, not meritocracies. The market appears at first to be a contest of skill, with prices as the scoreboard. But what we're actually observing is a redistribution game. Every trade has two sides, a buyer and a seller. When one wins, the other, by definition, loses. And although market movements are driven by many complex factors, the end result is that capital is constantly being transferred from the less prepared to the more prepared, from the emotional to the disciplined, from the slow to the fast. Over time, this creates an emergent asymmetry. Some players, through better tools, better information, better execution, or better psychology, begin to win more consistently. But they're not just winning more often, they're winning disproportionately. Their gains compound, their strategies scale, their capital multiplies, and the profits they generate are not conjured from thin air, they are harvested from the broader pool of participants. This is why trading, even in a free and fair market, still reflects the Pareto curve. Because the market isn't just a venue for expression, it's a filtering mechanism. And like any such mechanism, it produces inequality by design, not by accident. When equal opportunity meets unequal outcomes. Let's suppose for a moment that every trader began with the same capital, the same tools, the same information. Even then, the outcome would not be fair. Because participants do not bring equal cognition. They do not bring equal patience, emotional regulation, time commitment, or risk tolerance. These human differences, small at first, compound across trades, across days, across cycles. Someone exits too early. Another hesitates too long. Someone overleverages on a false breakout. Another exits just before the move. These decisions, repeated across a population, create natural gradients of outcome. They form the long tail of mediocrity and loss, and the slim upper tier of staggering gain. The curve appears again, and the trap is revealed. Even in systems designed with perfect transparency, the Pareto dynamic reasserts itself. Not because people are stupid, not because they're irrational, but because the game punishes the average. Climbing the curve. The ascent few complete to escape the long tail of the Pareto curve is possible, but the climb is steep. Those who succeed do not merely possess a strategy. They possess systematic edges, quantitative tools, proprietary data, cognitive discipline, institutional resources, or an ability to navigate crowd psychology like a seasoned shepherd. The few who reach the higher percentiles of this curve live in a different reality. their edge compounds while others' hope erodes. But the closer you get to that apex, the more brutal the competition becomes. Every mistake is amplified, every lapse is punished, and the moment you stop evolving, you fall, not back to even, but often back to zero. This is why the industry sells optimism instead of honesty, why educators peddle probability as promise. The full truth that success is both rare and asymmetrical is not a product that sells well, but it is the truth nonetheless. The players who don't play the same game. There is a deeper irony still. Many of the most consistent winners in the market aren't trading the market in the way most understand it. They're not predicting prices, they're exploiting mechanics. High-frequency traders arbitrage latency. Institutions front-run order flow. Brokers earn from spreads, not speculation. Exchanges earn from volume, not accuracy. Educators earn from subscriptions, not trades. These actors are insulated from the zero-sum nature of directional speculation. They don't beat the market. They sell the tools, charge the tolls, and rent the lanes. They're not trying to avoid the Pareto distribution. They engineer their business models to sit atop it. In a sense, they've inverted the trap. Instead of fighting to escape it, they've built their wealth on the predictable losses of those stuck within it. The final realization: freedom through clarity. This is not a call for cynicism. It's not a warning to retreat or a moral condemnation of markets. It's a call for clarity. Understanding the Pareto dynamics of the market is not a reason to avoid trading. It is a reason to approach it with eyes wide open. To recognize that you are not entering a fair contest, you are entering a statistical filter, a probabilistic coliseum, where the odds are not distributed evenly. But when you see the curve, you stop fantasizing. You start choosing. You might choose to specialize, to systematize, to move from noise to signal, from intuition to probability. You might choose to stop trading altogether and start building tools, products, services that stand outside the curve. Or you might simply choose to understand the game well enough to walk its edge, taking small and sustainable slices while others are devoured by volatility. The trap loses its grip the moment it is seen. Not because the rules change, but because you do. And in the market, as in life, awareness is the first form of freedom.